What does possibility mean to you?
That's a hard question.
Something that you can strive for.
That I'm able to do anything I set my mind to.
You're confident in yourself and you believe in yourself. Stuff that you could achieve.
I feel excited. Anything is possible when you're more confident.
Shoes are a huge part of that. They are the most important part of my style.
You can like express yourself
in the right shoes.
Anything is possible.
DSW, countless shoes at bragworthy prices. Imagine the possibilities.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network and wherever you are in the free Odyssey app. Good Thursday morning. It's the middle of July. We've got the Open Championship on at 6 o'clock in the morning out there at Royal Port Rush. We had the ESPYs last night where Shane Gillis was absolutely hilarious. And I tell you, man, if I am Carl Anthony Towns, and I know that a lot of people got mad at me, like, you know, Carl Banks and others when I called Carl Anthony Towns a loser when I was talking about him being a losing player. But since then, people have come out and just basically roasted him in ways that is way more disrespectful than what I said. Gilbert Arenas saying that he's got a woman's body and that's why he can't succeed. And then last night, Shane Gillis, and I know that I don't want to steal all of Jerry's thunder here, but he'll play these cuts. But he goes, Carl Anthony Towns is here. Hey, girl. I mean, does the world think that he's the softest man on the planet? Or at least the softest man in pro sports. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, good morning, Jay. Or they're implying something else. You know, yeah. I mean, Shane Gillis took no prisoners last night. I mean, it was a little bit of everything about everybody from Aaron Rodgers to Caitlin Clark to Carl Anthony Towns to Deshaun Watson and everybody else.
Yeah.
And he was the most unwoke thing that happened last night.
Sure.
I mean, he was just letting it rip and, some landed, some didn't land, but I have to sit here and tell you that the reason that a couple things that did happen last night that I did like, and one was the send off for Lee Corso.
Mm-hmm.
And I can appreciate all the things that Lee Corso has done for that show, for that, you know, for ESPN and with Pat McAfee and Kirk Herbstreit out there and those guys. I thought that was great. And they bring out the USC band. I just thought that was a great send off for really one of the great guys.
Yeah, absolutely. And he is there isn't a single person out there that doesn't love this guy on or off the air. He's got a legacy on sports TV that's going to last for a very, very long time. Unique, great personality. You knew the end was coming for the last couple of years. And to be able to do that and have all that focus and attention and positive attention in the send-off last night, I agree. I thought that was special.
And look, and by the way, you know, ESPN could have, you know, cut him 5 years ago.
Yeah,
they didn't. And I think one of the reasons why they didn't is because he's beloved. But I also sensed last night that, you know, you got to work with a guy like that. And I think that there's a real unbreakable relationship between him and Kirk Herbstreit.
Mm.
And, you know, you could see that. You could see the love and respect that Kirk has for Lee Corso. So that was great. I enjoyed that. I thought the women's Penn State volleyball coach who won the Jimmy V Award, who came through breast cancer and still coached her team to a national championship, was an amazing story.
Yeah.
It's one of those stories that, you know, you read about, but until you see it in the way that ESPN, you know, does a whole documentary around it and you understand what she had gone through and that she herself was a national championship at Penn State as a player. So the fact that she was able to do that and be honored that way and recognized that way and put the Jimmy V cancer stamp on that, you know, those things are great when it comes to the ESPYs.
Sure,
some of the other messaging, I could really, I give two craps about.
Yeah.
But I will say that Shane Gillis was hilarious.
Well, so let me ask you, you had been in that audience and you had gotten jokes thrown at you by Norm, right?
By Norm McDonald.
Yeah, so, I mean, and obviously that's one of the most legendary monologues, and this is the best monologue Shane Gillis has since Norm McDonald, because they really got away from that stuff and real comedy for so many years, and good thing they brought it back. But All right, so you're sitting in there. You obviously, you have a very good sense of humor. This is many years ago, though. I guess the firing of ABC was Raw, right? Is that was when this happened?
No, I hadn't been fired yet.
You hadn't been fired yet.
So I was a part of ABC at that point in time.
Okay.
That's one of the reasons why I was there.
All right, so walk me through that, and then I'm going to ask you questions about how Carl Anthony Towns feels.
I remember just sitting there, and then just Norm ripping into everybody, and somehow he got to me, and then, of course, the camera's in my face.
Yeah.
But I never took any of it seriously.
Do you remember the joke?
I don't remember the joke. I'm sure it's out there somewhere, and I'm sure Joey from Yonkers could find it or something. But I just, what I remember is just that was the beginning of the ESPYs. That was like the very, very beginning. And, as we all know, the great Norm Macdonald was anything but politically correct.
Sure.
He was just letting it rip left and right. And that's what really made the show. And then, again, Shane Gillis made it again last night.
Yeah, of course. So, you got some guys like the SGA joke is totally harmless, where he said that, SGA's here and everybody sitting around him is now in foul trouble. Like, that's a harmless joke.
Yeah, but it's a very funny thing, because anybody who's not an OKC fan thinks that, that's all he does is get fouled.
Sure, absolutely. Yes. But, that's different than, essentially, and listen, I laughed my ass off, but like, I'm wondering if Carl Anthony Towns, understands and accepts the perception of him and is okay with it and laughs at it, or does he go home and he's like, man, like, everybody does think that I'm either gay or soft or not tough enough to be a great player in the NBA. What is he thinking?
Anytime I see Carl Anthony Towns away from the basketball court and I see him, whether it be on a podcast or being interviewed, I think he's very comfortable with who he is. That's my sense. That's what I get from him. And you got to be some sort of, you got to be living in a cave somewhere, not knowing what's being said about you on social media. I mean, it's all over the place. I mean, it's Instagram, it's TikTok, it's X, everywhere. The word zesty is used a lot.
Yes, zesty Carl Anthony Towns.
If that means something that I don't know what it means.
I mean, it's sort of like flamboyant in a way. Like that's what I would say. And it's also, I saw this video of somebody standing outside of Madison Square Garden and asking people to do their best Carl Anthony Towns impression. It was all from this, one interview that he had where he sounded very zesty. And then also guys were going like, that's not a foul. They were doing. And it's like, I mean, I don't know what to say about it. Like, to me, that's not... That when I was criticizing him, like, that part of whatever his aura is not something that I was criticizing. It was more just like, big moments and where is he and bad fouls and all of those things.
Which actually came to fruition.
Yeah, like, sure. And that's what's frustrating here. But I don't know. I think that with the criticism that he has gotten in this offseason, if he doesn't come back and do exactly what Rick Pitino said and get into the best shape of his life, and show everybody that he can dominate for the entire season and into the postseason, then really he isn't a winning player.
Well, all right, so here's the
are questioning his manhood every single day on national television.
I know that, and here's the crux of all of it when it comes to the athlete. Whether you're drafted later than you thought you should have been, which was my case, you usually use that fuel for fire and for inspiration. I would like to think that Carl Anthony Towns knows that he has to lose weight. That's one of the things that Rick Pitino said. And the question is are you going to be able to change this 29-year-old player who's basically been a dominating player ever since he picked up a basketball?
Sure.
It was very difficult to cover him, and he knows that. The real question that anybody would have, let me ask Fleeg this. Fleeg, you're a Jet fan. Right now you are. I know you've supposedly...
I have been, so I you know.
But you know all things Jets, and I know you're frustrated about the Jets and everything else.
Right, it's because I know the last many years so intimately that I'm done with them.
Right,
but yes.
Okay. But so if you were going to invest in players that the Jets just invested in, Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner, do you think one wants to truly be great and one just thinks he's already great? What's your mindset about those two in particular?
Oh, Garrett Wilson is, to me, the guy who wants to be great and is willing to put in the work. And Sauce Gardner is the guy who already proved his greatness in his first 2 years, and I think took a step back last year because he kind of is just coasting off of who he is and the accolades he had, and I wonder if he'll take the money and run or continue to prove that he's not just great in those 2 years, one of the best of all time, which he can be.
All right, so this is my point about Karl Anthony Towns. Which person is Karl Anthony Towns? Is he a guy that has gotten paid a ton of money because he's a double-double waiting to happen? When he is on, he can do pretty much anything he wants offensively at his size, which is very rare. And he's got a lot of money, and he can sit back on it, and he can do whatever he wants right now. Or do you think he's in the gym right now working on whatever he's eating, lifting weights, you know, running, trying to lose some weight, worrying about, you know, what he's putting in his body? What kind of person or do you think he is?
Well, I don't think that he's ever been questioned in this way in his career. And I would normally say that he's just a guy that's so talented and he's hit his ceiling and he is who he is and he's a nice guy and he's happy being him and he's had a lot of tragedy in his life and losing a lot of family members and he appreciates his life. But getting to that next championship gear, like that Kobe mentality, is something that's not going to happen. That's what I would normally say. But I don't care who you are. When people are making jokes on national TV like that about you, and every time you open up TikTok or Instagram, there's a bunch of videos of him being zesty, and the fan base is doing high-pitched voices when saying, do your best Karl Anthony Towns impression. I can't remember. Like, there's been rumors about players, you know, and their sexual preferences throughout the years, and Dwight Howard. I remember there was a back page, we talked about this not that long ago, it was a back page of the New York Post of Mike Piazza, where it said, I'm not gay, where he was being asked questions before a game if he was gay, and he was dating Sam Champion. Like, so these things have kind of happened, but it sort of gets diffused after a while. This thing is just growing and growing and growing and growing, and now that the fact that he's in New York, so the long answer to your question is, anybody who's got a competitive fiber in their body that's getting made fun of like this goes out and proves to everybody that they are not the person that you are telling them that they are or telling the world that they are. So he better come out and have, you know, 2% body fat, whatever Rick Pitino said, and dominate and then look like a guy who cares about a championship.
You know, do you think that the Knicks ultimately fired Tom Thibodeau because they allowed Karl Anthony, or because he allowed Karl Anthony Towns to do or become what he became here as the next player, meaning overweight, lack of defense, you know, the lack of the effort getting back on defense? Do you think that that's one of the reasons?
Yeah, it could have been. It could have been a part of it. I don't think it was one of the top three reasons, though. I think they really started buying into all of the Tibbs criticism about too many minutes and not playing the bench and this and that, when, you know, he just didn't have a great bench to play. But I do think that because of the Karl Anthony Towns ties, Leon Rose, World Wide West, and not getting to the NBA Finals and losing again to that same team when they went out and got Karl Anthony Towns and said, this is the missing piece, and certainly was a big deal. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. I hope for his sake that all the tragedy that has happened in his life, we can never forget about that. That's a big part of who he is back in COVID and how many family members he lost.
Yeah.
Including his mom, I believe.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's part and parcel to who he is. I mean, that's, you know, you would hope, I think just from the athletic point of view, you would hope that all of that would inspire him to even higher standards, more inspired to become even better and to be greater in honor of the family members that he lost.
Yeah, I mean, and I think that, you know, I spend a lot of time around crazy competitive people who are just doing things like playing cornhole and golf now, right? And like, yeah. I see these guys that are just going nuts. If someone says, hey, you stink at this, then they get angry and try to play harder or whatever it is. Like, I just can't imagine that Karl Anthony Towns leaves the ESPYs last night and, like, whether it's his girlfriend Jordan Woods or anybody in his inner circle going, hey man, did that bother you at all? And him just being like, oh, I've been hearing that stuff for years. Like, oh, no big deal, whatever. You know, I'm going to have a great night tonight. Like, he plays NBA basketball at a high level. And they've been calling him out all year about this. I would want to go out. I'd grow the biggest beard in the world. I'd start drinking Bush Light. I might even do that Instagram Live thing that Shannon Sharp did to dispel the rumors and then have sex with a woman on Instagram Live. I would do every straight male thing you could pop. I'd go hunting. I'd start killing deer and stuff and posting it on my Instagram.
You'd be like Jay Cutler.
I'd go to a Morgan Wallen concert. I'd start smoking cigarettes. I would do whatever it was to debunk these theories and then go out and have the best season of my life and the best shape I would ever be
in. That's the best thing he could do. Get in the best shape of his life and come back and be even better than he was last year. That's the one thing that he can do that he can control.
Yes.
And then everything else. And look, and the stuff that you hear on the basketball court, like if he gets fouled and the way that he reacts to those things.
He's
got to learn to control that stuff.
And it's impossible to ignore. It just is.
And it's out there. That's the point. It's everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, and when you compare it to the other guys in the league complaining about fouls, it looks different. It sounds different. It sounds like whiny.
I mean, when you hear LeBron screams and yells, but you know that he's screaming and yelling. He doesn't sound like he's whining. Carl Anthony Towns sounds like he's whining.
I mean, it's like people aren't making this stuff up. I do think it's gone to a little bit too far for the sake of comedy.
I mean, but come on, man. This is Shane Gillis last night at the end.
No. That was awesome. No. I'm not talking about that.
But that's the level that this has reached.
Yeah, 100%. Yes. And I laughed my ass off at that joke. I thought it was unbelievable. But yeah, I mean, that's like, you know, some of the things that he was talking about, like the main things that people talk about in sports, Bill Belichick and his girlfriend, Caitlin Clark. Like, think about Aaron Rodgers, and then Carl Anthony Towns being zesty is right there at the top of that. SGA and the fouls. I mean, he was touching everything that people talk about all the time.
Well, that's what he's supposed to do.
Which is the point being that's the level that it's gotten to.
Yeah.
All right, what are the topics that I have to hit? I have to hit Jordan Hudson, Aaron Rodgers, Caitlin Clark, I got to do the Norm MacDonald joke, and I got to make sure that I do a Carl Anthony Towns might be gay joke. I mean,
Deshaun Watson.
Deshaun Watson, yeah.
Yes, yes.
I mean, it's like when you sit down, he's saying, all right, well, what are the topics they need to hit?
Did he hit? I don't know if he did or he didn't. I didn't see all of it. I only saw part of it. I fell asleep. But did he hit on Angel Reese at all?
I did not see any Angel Reese jokes. Except the Caitlin Clark joke that I'm sure Jerry's going to play.
Yes.
That has something to do with that, but he never named Angel Reese.
Right. So. Caitlin Clark wants to go work at a Waffle House.
Right. I don't want to ruin Jerry's cuts.
Okay. Yes, okay.
I don't want to ruin all of them because he's got today.
That was hilarious.
I mean, all of it was hilarious. I mean, every joke. I'm sitting there and I'm watching it and I'm cracking up and Sabrina's on her iPad, and like she stays up way too late in the summertime. It's a bad job. But anyway, so
she's hanging out with Dad.
So I'm dying laughing, and she's like, "What are you laughing at? Explain it to me." And I'm like, "I can't. You're seven. But tell me, you're laughing and having a good time. Tell me, I can't explain to you while I'm laughing why I'm laughing. At some point, maybe in 10 years, I can, but not.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Tonight.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. We talked a ton about the Shane Gillis monologue, and I asked Boomer what was it like for him back in the day when he was sitting in the crowd and he became a topic, and you didn't remember the joke or why the camera was on you. It really wasn't a joke about you per se, as Fleegs was saying, but we are going to play it back from 1998. This is the Norm MacDonald monologue, and this joke came right before. This is probably a reason why you don't remember it, or we don't remember it. This joke came right before the OJ Charles Woodson joke. So,
are you gonna play it through that?
We can. I have the whole thing ready.
If you want,
yeah,
I mean,
you got it. I gotta remember what it was. I just remember the camera in my face and him talking about something that I was.
There is an
in.
Extreme close up of your face.
Yes,
when this
yes.
Happens.
Okay.
Boomer Esiason is with us. Boomer. How you doing, brother?
Boomer, of course, will replace Frank Gifford on Monday Night Football next season. And Frank told reporters that this will allow him to spend more time with his wife and children. Then he broke down and cried for 45 minutes. So. And there's Charles Woodson. How about that? And what a season he had. Right, Manny. He became the first defensive player to win the Heisman Trophy. And congratulations, Charles. That is something that no one can ever take away from you. Unless you kill your wife and a waiter, in which case.
Kiss me every time.
Yeah.
I mean, the perfectly placed and word selection of in which case after that is like there's little things like that in comedy, you know, it's just amazing. So there you go. There's Boomer, Matt Damon, and Joe Theismann from that particular night, I think.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. So anyway, it was many years after that monologue that ESPN said, hands off, we're not doing any of this stuff anymore. We don't want the controversy. We don't want OJ murder jokes. This is not something that we want to be in the business of. And then all these years go by and 2025 rolls around and Jerry Recco, we get Shane Gillis last night.
Thank God. We were brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. I was driving in thinking, what the hell do we do today for sound? I didn't know this was on last night. So I was very excited when I saw it. Just because you just played it, that's exactly how he ended it last night.
There's one thing I want to say before I get out of here, and this is a dumb joke. You guys aren't going to like it, but it was it's just a Norm MacDonald joke that I loved when he hosted the ESPYs, and I'm going to do it now. Travis Hunter won the Heisman Trophy this year. He's the first defensive player since Charles Woodson to win the Heisman. Congratulations, Travis Hunter, winning the Heisman. That's something they can never take away from you unless you kill your wife and a waiter. In which case, they can take that away from you. Well, see, a lot of you don't like me, and that's okay. That's it for me. That went about as exactly how we all thought it was going to go. I don't know why this happened.
So that's how it ended.
Yeah.
I'm going to try and give you 8 different clips that have some sort of sequence to them throughout the course of the morning, because I've got 30 of them, and I'm going to damn it play them all. This is the one you were referencing about Carl Anthony Towns with Gillis.
The New York Knicks had a great season. Yeah, hell yeah. Carl Anthony Towns is here. Hey, girl.
Oh, God. So we talked a lot about this in the first segment, how we thought about it. What's your reaction to it?
What did Carl Anthony Towns do? I know you're there to be roasted and all. I get that. But this, I don't know.
I mean, he didn't do anything wrong. Like, obviously, like, you know, Deshaun Watson or some of these other guys that he's roasting. But it's just, it's one of these things now in sports media and social media where people believe that he is zesty / gay / feminine, whatever. It's
and
like that's
soft,
a thing.
And that's the one thing you don't want to be labeled as a professional athlete.
Soft. It's one thing to be like, the Twitter trolls are all over me for the soft stuff and whatever, and I can ignore that. It's another thing when, like, the biggest comedian right now in 2025 is on national TV and calling you out for that. And it's a joke, trust me. And I laughed, and I'm going to laugh at that joke for a long time. But if I am trying to put myself in his shoes, like, that's where I'm like, damn, like, wow, people really.
That's exactly what I said out there when I was like, damn.
I mean, people are really getting to a point here where, like, this is a thing.
You are not kidding. Caitlin Clark is a thing. Here is where her name gets mentioned first.
Big year for the WNBA. I love Caitlin Clark. Hell yeah. Caitlin Clark, she and I have a lot in common. We're both whites from the Midwest who have nailed a bunch of threes. All right. There you go. Lighten up a little. This is not serious.
Another really good joke.
Yeah. It's too bad he feels like he has to explain everything.
Well, that's part of his routine is that, you know, where it's like this self-deprecating, like, oh, this isn't going well, or oh, come on, guys. You know, like, that's him. So he does that almost every time that he's on something as big as whether it's the ESPYs or Saturday Night Live or whatever, where the reaction could be mixed. It's just part of his charm.
If the reaction was mixed with that, the next thing that came out of his mouth.
We'll see about this one. When Caitlin Clark retires from the WNBA, she's going to work at a Waffle House so she can continue doing what she loves most, fist-fighting black women. Yeah, hell yeah. Who yelled? Drewski? Thank you, bro. Oh, John Jones? Yeah. What are you, nut jobs over there? Hell yeah.
Oh, God.
So, and then there's one more that's somewhat relatable. This I laugh the most with because he really got me as the camera pans to a couple.
Four-time WNBA All-Star Brittany Hicks is here. Give it up for Brittany, everybody. I'm joking around. That's my friend's wife. I knew none of you knew WNBA players. That's crazy. You clap for that.
That is awesome. That's so smart.
I thought that was great. Funny. And the girl, she's sitting there like, hey,
yeah,
look at me.
Very easily could have been a WNBA player, looked athletic and young and whatever. And he's just, that was very smart.
And my first thought is like, I've never heard of four-time All-Star.
Yeah.
And then he drops the, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I mean, my first reaction was, okay, that's a four-time All-Star that I've never heard of. Like, I totally believed it, too. You know, I don't know if I would have clapped in the audience, but yeah, I believed it.
Oh, my God. We'll wrap up this hour with one of the biggest stars in baseball into one of the biggest stars around football over the last 30 years.
Shohei Ohtani couldn't make it tonight. Man, I hope his interpreter didn't bet that he was going to be here. Shohei is a once-in-a-generation talent. No one's been able to do what he does at so many positions, pitcher, hitter, and bookie. A bookie is what Bill Belichick reads to his girlfriend before bedtime.
All right, so obviously everyone finds that funny, as he would continue about Belichick reading to his girlfriend.
They do. They read the very horny caterpillar. The little engine that could but needed a pill first. And, of course, the classic goodnight boobs. That was my favorite one. I'm not trashing Bill Belichick. First off, he's 73 years old and he's dating a hot 24-year-old, and people are criticizing him? What happened to this country?
He wasn't done there, though. This might have been... I don't know if this one turned the most heads last night as he ended with the Belichick.
He won 6 Super Bowls? Yeah. He's dating a hot 24-year-old. Maybe if you guys won 6 Super Bowls, you wouldn't be sitting next to a fat, ugly dog wife.
Oh, man.
They let me do it. I don't... This is Disney. They allowed that.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you a story. I was at a... we should have taken that out. I had doubts going into that. That didn't work all week.
Oh, it's just amazing. Yeah, that was one where I laughed out loud. Like, all of them, I was laughing out loud. There's one guy in the audience when he does that fat, ugly dog wife joke here. I'm going, woo! It's just, like, you had people that are probably like, oh, my God, that's horrible. And then, like, the people that just absolutely loved it in the crowd. So, it was great. I mean, for me, it was absolutely hilarious what comedy should be. He didn't hold back. It was great.
Here was, just because you mentioned it, to me, it's not very funny, but this is the way it started.
SGA is here. Give it up for SGA. Hell yeah, bro. And now everybody sitting around him is in foul trouble.
And I couldn't tell if he found it funny or not. He was just stone-faced.
Didn't really smile. Yeah. He was probably thinking it was going to be way worse than that.
Maybe, I suppose.
You know, if you're sitting there and, like, SGA is here, you hear your name, Carl Anthony Towns is here, you know, whatever, you're like, oh, God.
Are you giving a heads up that you know you're not?
No, not really.
Well, up is the camera.
Yeah,
comes
the camera. Yes, the handheld camera is right in your face.
You're not,
you know that your name is coming.
But you're not told prior to the event that there's a joke written about you.
No, because they want you there. They know you're there, and they need you to be there, or
very
the joke falls flat. I think the Carl Anthony Towns joke, even if he weren't there, it still would have been great.
Oh, yeah. I mean, of course.
Next hour, we will feature Trump, Juan Soto, and a lot more. He has some football things we'll get through throughout the course of the morning. They had the fake movie trailer about the Tush Push, which we will play for you as well. So a whole lot from that from last night. Mets play the Reds this weekend. Saturday, retiring David Wright's number 5. Now, I'm going to play this video. It's out there. There's nothing you can do about it. It's all over the place. This is a video. I guess this is what they're going to play on Saturday. I feel bad playing it, but again, it's everywhere. It's all about David Wright, and then it leads into a current Met, and take from it what you think you should take from it.
himself back into the lineup with thunder. Holy smokes, the captain is back.
It's truly been an honor of a lifetime to take the field with you and serve as your captain. I truly bleed orange and blue.
When it comes to the plate, that place rocks.
It's gone! Francisco Lindor! He may have just outdone himself.
What a leader, what a star that the New York Mets have.
Linsanity!
So that's, I mean, that's a little excerpt from it.
Yeah, I mean, they're obviously going to pass the torch to the next captain of the team, like it. And it's going to be Francisco Lindor unless they decide to put it off because this video went out there and they don't want to ruin it, even though it's been ruined. But yeah, I mean, I
it's still a great thing, though.
Yeah, I know it is a great thing, but it certainly would have surprised me that it would have happened now with the David Wright ceremony.
I think it makes perfect sense, though, with him there.
Yeah, it does now that I think about it.
It's kind of cool.
But I wasn't expecting that at all. You know, and now this video that went out, whoever screwed it up kind of ruined that moment.
The only thing that's gone is the shock value of it, if that's the right word. But it's to me, there's nothing bad about it. So, I mean, I see people saying this guy should be fired.
No, is it that big a deal? No, it's obviously a mistake. Unless they did it on purpose. Unless it was like a Phillies fan to put it out there on purpose, then they should be fired.
Or what they were trying to do is just to make sure that people knew what was coming and to get people more excited and to sell more tickets. Be sold out anyway.
I would think he's sold out. Yeah, I would. I mean, they've been averaging 38,000 for every home game, so I think that's their numbers for the year. I would think this has been sold out for a long time, but who knows? Yankees will be in Atlanta coming up this week. It's happened again. A home belonging to Diamondbacks infielder Ketel Marte was burglarized during the All-Star break. The burglary reportedly happened Tuesday night during the game that he was playing. So why these guys don't, I don't know what else you do. I can't imagine he doesn't have a security system. He must, but they figured a way around it. So you have that. I thought this was very cool. This you would have appreciated back in the day when you were with the Arizona Cardinals, perhaps. Despite not making the All-Star game, despite having an ERA of 1.58, 94 strikeouts and 91 innings, the Texas Rangers decided to pay Nathan Eovaldi his All-Star bonus of $100,000 because he should have been an All-Star.
Oh, there you go.
That is very cool.
So do you think the Mets are going to pay Juan Soto $100,000? He should have been a Met All-Star?
Steve Cohen is going to hand him an envelope.
I mean, if he does, he should give half of it to Sal Licata. Holy God, can we get enough already?
He does love himself Juan Soto more than you did back in the day.
You're right.
That is true. The Commanders are signing Von Miller, who is not retiring, and it looks like Bradley Beal to the Clippers on a 2-year deal. The British Open is underway. My eyes are bad. I see someone's at minus -5.
Olsson.
Is that who that is?
Yeah, and then Lee, who I don't know.
Okay.
L-I.
Is that Lee Westwood?
No. It's L-I is the last name.
No, I know. Westwood underneath. Is that Lee Westwood underneath? I can't really see
it. No, I can't see it because I took it off the screen. But yes, Lee Westwood was up there. Scotty's one under. Mickelson's one under.
Oh, here we go. And Matthew Fitzpatrick, I believe.
Two under.
Yes. So there you go. We'll keep that. That's been going on. Scotty Scheffler minus -1 as he is now playing the sixth hole on his second shot. So we'll keep you updated on that throughout the course of the morning.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
I got to tell you, we've been talking a lot about the ESPYs and Shane Gillis this morning. But, you know, if you're a golf fan and you want to see one of the great golf courses in the world, this Royal Port Rush, where they're playing the Open Championship, otherwise known as the British Open, is one of the great golf courses in the world. You know, I'm very fortunate. I've played this place like 10 different times.
Yeah.
And it is amazing. And you can see the weather that they're playing in today. It's overcast. It's windy. It may be a little misty there. You know, everybody's buttoned up. And they have a halfway house, and they have all the Bushmills, different Bushmills on the wall. So you go over and get yourself a shot when you need one.
Man, that's awesome.
I mean, it's just an amazing piece of property. And, you know, it's Rory's home course, and there's another kid that's playing. He's a 20-year-old. I think his last name is Scubin, I think, who, you know, has played this golf course like 500 times. And so everybody's wondering whether or not, you know, his knowledge of the golf course is going to give him an opportunity to be in the top 10.
Yeah, and we're watching Phil right now with a birdie putt on 15. I'd love to see Phil be in contention. He's made a big comeback with YouTube stuff, and his personality's back out there. He disappeared for a while and became this villain wearing all black and sunglasses when he first went to live, and he's kind of coming back as a fan favorite again. So that's listen, I'd love it. I'm going to be watching it. We're going to be watching it in the morning on...
He's even after 15 right now.
Yeah.
And I think the leader is minus 5.
Yep. Which are very, very good scores for what... I mean, I think the cut line back in 2019 when they were there was one under.
I remember, what's his name? Rory McIlroy did not make the cut.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that was a big deal at that point. So look at the CBS Sports that were putting up the leaderboard. There you go, guys. Tremendous. So yesterday we were together at a wonderful outing at Glenhead Country Club. It was awesome. We were guests in this member guest thing. They did an amazing job with that event at that place. It was awesome. And I spent, you know, 4.5 hours in a cart with Adam Schefter, and we didn't talk football one time. It was great.
Yes.
And I think we both appreciated that.
Well, you're talking about your golf games.
All we did was talk about golf the whole time.
Exactly.
I mean, I feel like...
And plus, he's got the bug. He's got the golf bug. Maybe he's more fantasy golf.
Yeah, he likes betting on golf, yes. But not like very small amounts, by the way. I don't want to make it seem like he's doing the crazy stuff. He likes to bet. He said he's never been more than $30 playing golf, you know, betting golf legally, of course. But he, I just, you know, it's funny because... Any other situation that I'm with him, I'm probably asking him football questions, whatever. But you get out on the golf course, you sit in the cart with him. That's the last thing I wanted to talk to him about was any of that stuff. And then you talk about your game. You have a good time.
Well, so, he's still working, though. That's the amazing thing.
Yeah, he's on the phone.
We could shut it off.
He can't shut it off.
We could totally shut it off. And he can't.
Nope. That job is a tough job, man. Those information guys.
Yeah.
Got to be on all the time.
And he is. He is.
Got to be first all the time.
Yeah, or what the most important thing is to be accurate. You know, this is like the thing that I'm sure drives him crazy, because I know it certainly drives me crazy.
Yeah.
Is that people want to be first with something, and they don't think about what would happen if they're wrong about it.
Well, there are some people, though, that don't have as much to lose that'll put some stuff out there. And if they're wrong, they're like, okay, whatever, people will forget about it. But like someone like, you know, Woj when he was doing it, or Adam Schefter when he was doing it, you can't be wrong. I mean, you are the preeminent newsbreaker of the sport.
We can be wrong.
Yeah, because we do 4 hours and we don't call ourselves newsbreakers. We're doing entertainment, you know. We'll do shows on Superman. We'll do shows on whatever. Vagina-scented candles, whatever it is, you know.
Villages.
Yeah, the villages and the swinging and everything else. But yeah, I mean, just knowing, like, so he was freaking out. I heard, well, he told that story about how a kid went up to him when he was at the Masters and told him, hey, did you hear about that big NFL trade? He didn't have his phone. He was like, what? And the kid was like, I'm just messing with you.
Because he knows he couldn't have his phone there.
Right.
That's the thing. There are a lot of clubs out there that do not want cell phones anywhere near the golf course.
Yeah, and that's a tough spot for a guy who's got to be on his phone all the time.
It would be. I kind of like the serenity of not having that.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I like to be able to check it every now and again, just because you have small kids, whatever. You don't want to be completely off the grid. But yeah, I mean, not being attached to the phone is like one of the great things ever these days.
Well, yeah, especially when there's really not much going on. And even he said, like, you know, Von Miller signed yesterday. He knew that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he was talking about it. We did talk about a few other things, but he. You know, he just can't turn it off. I mean, you know, and in about 3 weeks, he's done for the rest of the year. I mean, he is like locked and loaded.
Yeah, meaning done for doing anything like recreationally.
Yes, exactly. Because he's going to have to cover training camps, cover cuts, trades. You know, if there's anything going on with any controversy with any teams. You know, the other thing, too, is now they have him, you know, on Get Up. And on Get Up, you got to give an opinion.
Oh, sure. And, well, he also does McAfee as well. So
it's not just news breaking. It's also opinion based, which I don't necessarily know that. that's what he
probably doesn't want to do it.
Right. He didn't cut his chops on that. He cut his chops on getting information and having connections and being able to talk to both general managers, more than general managers, players, coaches, owners, and agents.
Yeah.
Everybody.
Yeah, he told a funny story before you got there that I know he won't mind that I mentioned, that he played in an outing somewhere, and his it was like a Michigan outing, I think, and his 5-wood is in Wink Martindale's bag, and Wink Martindale had his clubs sent back to his house and then went on a vacation somewhere in the tropics.
Wink Martindale, yes, the coach.
Yeah, the coach, right.
Yes.
Right. So he's like, I need this 5-foot back, and there's no one at his house to get it. You know, so we had to go into the pro shop yesterday to get a 5-foot just like demo. But of all people, it's just sitting somewhere in Wink Martindale's house. It's 5-foot. So good times yesterday, and that place did a wonderful job. I mean, it's just the food is just insane. Everywhere you turn, the food.
Well,
you can't
turn
it down.
You're getting used to it.
Getting used to it, I guess, is right. All right, let's go to, speaking of ESPN, Eric's in Bristol. What's going on, Eric?
Hey, how's it going, Gio? Boomer, everybody, Al. I know Al's not there, but hello, Al, Eddie, and whoever just answered the phone. Thank
Fleegs, it's Michael Fliegelman, yes.
Michael, thank you for putting me on. Hey, I just want to talk about Jerry's view about the bird thing real quick, if you don't mind. It's one of my favorite bits.
Okay.
So... You know, he goes, it's a bird, you moron.
Sure. Yeah, we love
bird
that. Bird
flying over.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just here to confirm. It is a bird. It's just a bird. But you don't have to call him a moron. Because it's good to have faith and to believe. On that note, I just want to say, hey, New York, let's get up, get some faith, get some belief, let's get some hope. Let's support the Mets. Putting on my Mets hat. I ain't always a Mets fan, but we put on the Mets hat this year. Go Mets. Let's rise up, New York. It's time to get back like it was pre-COVID and get the party started. All right?
Wow. F you dork. What in the hell was that?
I have no idea.
I couldn't follow that. He was saying it's good to have faith and belief, but it still is a bird, you moron. And I don't know. Where was he going with that?
Please? Well, so, yeah, he was tying it with me, the Jerry and the birds, and how he is mad that Jerry is so angry about it. He's like, we need good vibes, like with the Mets. We should all support them this year, no matter what happens. So I thought he was going to lean more into the Mets aspect of it, and I knew Eddie would have the proper response to him.
Right. But my thought would be, like, who's giving up on the Mets? Who's giving up on the Yankees? Anybody?
No, I mean, just because Jerry says that there aren't signs that your sports team is going to win in the sky doesn't mean that he doesn't believe that the Mets could have a good season. Two totally different things.
True.
What a goddamn life.